This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today we have a conversation with Jeff Clark, director of the Rural Church Matters Institute, and James Swain is going to be joining us, Oklahoma Baptist Church Relations Ministry Associate Executive Director. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Chris.
Jeff, did I get your title correct there?
Well, that's close enough. I'm bivocational. Work with International Mission Board as a rural research person, and then with Rural Matters Institute at Wheaton College. So I'm doing two jobs.
And where are you based?
I live in Richmond, just outside of Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, very good. And I probably actually didn't get James's title correct either.
Yeah, the guy that I work with doesn't know what I do. How about that? Yeah.
They keep adding things for you to do, so that's why I don't know.
That week it may have changed, Chris. We'll see.
That's right. Depending on the week. Well, it's so good to have you here. I wanted us to spend some time talking about the rural church. And Jeff, I had this opportunity several weeks ago to hear a presentation that you did about the rural church. And I know that we won't be able to get into every aspect of it. But I'm fascinated because Oklahoma is strongly rural. But you had some people might be rural and not realize it, or urban, micropolitan. Can you help us unpack a little bit about what the rural church is?
Well, yes, that was the first difficulty I had when I came to this job about 18 months ago, is trying to define what is rural. When you start looking at definitions, the U.S. government has 24 different definitions for rural. So if you're in China, 100,000 or less is rural. In the United States, the number is 2,500 or less is rural. So if you live in a town of 2,500 people, you're urban, just like New York City. So one of the other definitions, and that's the main definition used by the Census Bureau. We expanded the definition to include micropolitans, small towns, regional towns, towns from 2,500 to 50,000. These are up to about 50,000, you're still not urban. You may not be completely rural. It's kind of like a sliding progression from open countryside to villages to small towns to regional towns. And each one of those has a different style of ministry associated with them. So I look at everything from 50,000 people down.
Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah. So I know James has a lot of experience with the rural church in Oklahoma. I'd be interested in a conversation between you gentlemen about rural, how rural Oklahoma is, and seemed like we were talking, and you were talking about like if you're near a Walmart, you might be more urban, or did I get that right?
Well, what you have, again, looking at the spectrum, you have open country. Open country is, you don't just drive into town. You have to plan your trip into town. Then you have villages. Villages are 2,500 or less. One gas station, fills, everything's done as one unit in the town. Then you have small towns, which are up to maybe 10,000. And then you have these towns, the next size up towns, they have a Walmart, and maybe the regional hospital. These are regional towns where people come from maybe multiple counties to go to that town. That town has a mixture of urban and rural. So you might have an urban First Baptist Church, but then you have smaller Baptist churches that are feel much more country in that town of 25,000 or 30,000 people. So as you begin to move up the scale, you get more urban and less rural, but you still have rural all the way up to about 50,000 people. This is what I'm seeing. Does that sound like what you see in Oklahoma?
Yeah, outside of the Tulsa metropolitan area and the Oklahoma City metropolitan area and the Lawton, Oklahoma area, you described Oklahoma. We have these regional hub small cities that are, even the largest ones of them are not 50,000. And Walmart's been a little more aggressive in Oklahoma. They're in a lot of those 2,500 towns here. And every wide spot in the road has a Dollar General now. I think that's a great and accurate description of what I see in Oklahoma. I've had the opportunity to serve as an interim or transitional pastor in some of our regional hub type cities. And those First Baptist churches in those cities, a lot of times maybe they've got a regional college there, or they've got something. Mm-hmm. They'll feel more like a church in a more urban area, but then you go down the street maybe 10 blocks and you find a church that feels a lot like an open country church, and that mixture of people there, and a very diverse, a lot of those, I think you used the term micropolitan, a lot of them have very diverse populations of people. Sometimes we make a mistake thinking that's a small town or that's a small community. And really sometimes there's a high level of education, quasi sophistication among some of the people there. And then you go down the road. Let me give you an example. I was in Durant, Oklahoma, right on the Texas line, capital of the Choctaw Nation, in that city limits was the poorest square mile in Southeast Oklahoma and the wealthiest square mile in Southeast Oklahoma.
Wow. Yes. And each one of those churches then, the big First Baptist in a county seat town, as we used to call them, and then the Second Baptist Church or whatever the next one is, you know, the anti-First Baptist, those two churches need different pastoral skills. And we've done a really good job at how to develop training and education for the First Baptist. I'm not sure that we've done as well for the smaller churches and the outlying rural churches out in the community.
What are some ways that, like, I know the Oklahoma Baptists have the Haskins School and other MVP Church, the multivocational pastor church, Phil Jones is working. What are some ways Oklahoma Baptists are working to encourage Oklahoma Baptist pastors in the rural church context?
You know, I was just thinking as Jeff was talking, Chris, about that the Haskins School, you know, the county seat First Baptist Church expects their pastor to be seminary trained. In some of the larger communities, especially if they've got some academic people in the church, they want them maybe to hold an earned doctorate. But then you get out to the real context, and a lot of those are multivocational pastors who maybe were a layman in that First Baptist Church, and God called them to the ministry, and now they're out at the open country church serving as a pastor. And so through our Haskins School, which is a contextual training school, we've done a lot of things for our smaller attendance church MVP pastors. This is another place where one of our strategic patterns of ministry is to be associated and partnered. And our directors of missions, and
yes,
they know a lot of these people have lived in that same area. They're not, the ministers in those areas are not as transient as the ministers in the larger more of that First Baptist type church that we were talking about. And so a lot of times they've got a longstanding relationship and they're able to, because they're there in the area and they're able to be a part of that. And so I think some of the training we provide through the Haskins School, typically this year because of COVID, we're not going to have that event at Falls Creek. Typically, we have an MVP retreat for pastors and their wives. This year, we're actually looking at doing some things out in our regions for our focused on our multivocational pastors. A lot of these guys, I like the term multivocational because a lot of them are not just working two jobs. A lot of them are working three and four jobs. And so trying to find time to connect with them is always a challenge. And I know our directors of missions make a priority of that, as well as our regional ministry partners, in trying to come alongside those guys and provide the encouragement and the tools and the training they need.
Jeff, in your research, do you look into church revitalization and church planting opportunities in the rural context?
We're starting in that. I've been in this role about a little less than 18 months, and especially with the International Mission Board, starting from zero, that this position, they didn't have it before I came. So we're ramping up in some of those areas.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the global rural context and how it compares to the United States?
Yeah. The International Mission Board has been very good about developing a strategy for reaching urban areas. The vast migration of people from rural to urban that's been going on for the last 30, 40 years will continue for the next 50 years. And so we've had a strong emphasis on reaching the cities. And they kept telling me, because I kept asking about rural, and they kept saying, but Jeff, 55% of the world lives in urban areas. I go, okay, where does the other 45% live? And so finally they said, well, we'll bring you on to do rural research and all things rural. So I guess I was the biggest country boy they could find, and so here I am. I grew up on a farm back in the mountains in Tennessee. But around the world, 45%, that's 3.4 billion people on this planet live in rural areas. That's the United States 11 times over. Every man, woman, child in the United States 11 times. Now, by 2050, the number is going to drop from 45% to only 20%. But because of the population increase, that means in 2050, there will still be 3 billion people in rural areas. So there's an overwhelming need for the rest of, at least the rest of my life, for work in for rural work. And we're finding things like, I had a missionary tell me, Jeff, help me to find, I need farmers to come over. I don't need preachers. I need farmers to come over. People who know about planting and growing and working with cattle. There's a lot of places still around the world where that's a great need and will continue to be a great need. And it's just, again, a lot of things are very similar. The educational opportunities are more limited in rural areas around the world. Poverty is higher in rural areas, just like, I can't remember the exact number, it's like, but the vast majority of the 20 poorest counties in the United States are all rural. So the drug issues, the abuse issues that plague rural America also are indicative of rural around the world. And so there's a great need, but some of the great revivals that we're seeing around the world take place in rural areas.
I like what you're saying about that. There's a need for rural ministry around the world, and we may need to do, and maybe we are doing a better job than I know, about calling out the called, people being called to missions who are from the rural context are highly in demand, and probably the word doesn't get out enough. And maybe people think, well, God's calling, but, you know, it's big city ministry, and that's not my background, you know, and they might feel, wow, if they knew that a rural, like a background in agriculture or something like that really is in demand for in the mission field, that should be, you know, a good reason to consider maybe God's calling you.
Absolutely. There's a great need for all kinds of people, and there's a need for people to go to urban areas, but we still have a great need for people who are willing to go into rural areas and then around the world into remote areas. So, I found, having served 13 years overseas, that my rural background was really effective in helping train rural people in my mission setting.
Now, Jeff, you did some research and you have some tools at your disposal in your work with IMB and Wheaton, and you are able to look at Oklahoma. And what percentage do you recall of Oklahoma was rural?
Yeah, 60% of the state of Oklahoma, 60% of the churches, out of the 1,737 churches, I think, 60% of those are rural. Now, it's split, though. About 20% are in The remaining 40%, 20% of those are in micropolitan, those small towns, and 20% are in urban areas. Does that make sense? So yeah. Most of your churches are non-urban. Right. 80% of your churches are non-urban.
And I think with our restructure and reorganization in terms of being more church-centered, maybe in years past we have been a little too focused on the urban context. I'd really rather James speak to that than me. I don't think I have the authority to make that pontification, but what are some ways we are adjusting, James, to the rural context, or what are our ways that we are positioned to serve?
Yeah, and you know, it the old there's an old axiom in Baptist life that 80% of the people go to 20% of the churches, and there's some truth in that, because obviously just by the nature of the demographics, in the larger urban areas are where your larger churches are. But I've held a deep conviction as a guy who pastored some of those county seat First Baptist churches that we were just talking about. In many ways, I think that's the backbone, not only of the Southern Baptist Convention, but of Oklahoma Baptist life. And
absolutely.
Those churches oftentimes tend to be more engaged in mission, and they're more committed to what we do cooperatively. And a lot of our a lot of our people who respond to the call and people in the mission field grow up in a lot of churches like that. So the value of them is huge. One of the things I'm pleased about, Chris, regarding our restructuring and our new strategy is, you know, we've put a lot of emphasis on having people out in the field building relationships with pastors and church leaders, because we believe context is so vitally important. And the context of rural or micropolitan Oklahoma is a lot different than suburban Oklahoma City, Tulsa, even the Lawton area. And so our ministry partners that are out in those regions are spending a lot of time getting to know the pastors across their region. Chris, I had a conversation with a pastor that I've known for a long time the other day, who's pastoring one of our smaller churches out kind of in the edge, quote Dr. Ligon, in the hinterlands of our state. And he said, you know, James, for the first time since I've been pastoring that church, somebody from Oklahoma Baptist came by to see me. And we've kind of structured that way to be able for our guys that are out in the field. And so they're learning. We believe that pastor in that context better knows the needs of his context than those who are in Oklahoma City in a building. And so we're learning what's going on. And your statement earlier, Jeff, about the poverty and the drug issues. In fact, I heard one of our directors of missions a number of years ago describe part of the area he served in as being a rural ghetto. And because of poverty there and the amount of drug abuse and some of our places have had people, a lot of people who had opportunities have left, and that's left huge areas of need. And, you know, one of our priorities is we want to embrace brokenness as an opportunity for the gospel. And rural Oklahoma is filled with brokenness. And we're trying to help our churches see that. Some of them have lived with it for so long, they don't recognize that. And others see it, but say simply, we don't know what to do, or we don't have the resources to be able to help meet that need. But we're trying to come alongside of them, help them understand the need, and partner with them to help meet that need with sister churches and other Christians in their communities.
Yeah, and we're working with Wheaton to develop at least a website right now with resources for the to deal with the opioid situation, the opioid and drug abuse situation, knowing that that's an overwhelming situation. The drug czar of the United States has teamed up with us, and he's allowed his associates to work with us in developing that. And so hopefully that'll be something that'll be coming out within the next year. Realizing that the drug crisis is such a big issue. The multi-generational poverty is another issue. One of the things I challenge, and I don't know how the Oklahoma Baptists are working, but how do we help make rural, pastoring a rural church a valid ministry opportunity, that it's not a stepping stone to something bigger, that it's okay to be called to be in a rural setting for life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great, and I think some of that is by telling the stories of some guys who've done that well.
Yes.
And who've been successful in it. And some of that is also helping guys understand, I believe we have pastors that context fits them very well, understanding who they are and their giftedness and their experience. The other thing that goes along with that, I think hand in hand, is we believe that in the next 10, 15, 20 years, that we're going to see a growth in that multivocational pastor, just a national trend that we see here as well. And because of that, that need for us to raise up pastors out of those contexts who already are there. And one of the priorities for us is working with some of those kind of strategic churches in each region that have a pastor maybe that has some training and some background that'll help mentor and raise up. And one of the things Mark Dance, who's our director of pastor development, is working on with our whole group is the develop of a ministry pipeline so that we can help young men and young women called to ministry to continue to pursue that call through high school, through their college years, whether it's at OBU or through one of our BCM ministries, and then wind up out serving in local churches. And we think a lot of those people may wind up back in their areas. So we're trying to retain Oklahoma in Oklahoma that God's calling.
Great.
But also understanding that God may call some people who are in another season of their life, and they're not going into full-time vocational ministry, but they're going into ministry along with their career path, maybe as a teacher or as a businessman or a businesswoman. We want them to be involved in ministry, and those will help meet the needs. And I do think we've got a potential problem of having the pastors and the ministry leaders we need in the rural church in the generation that's to come.
Can I meddle? how do we get a rural pastor to be a main speaker at your state convention, at your pastors conference, at your evangelism conference, so that we can begin to, I don't know, maybe you're already doing that, but creating that visibility for this as a viable mission opportunity.
That's a good medal, and I'm glad that my answer is we do quite a bit of that. In fact,
praise God.
Some of our most effective pastors are out in those contexts that we've been talking about. That's right. Not to minimize what some of our larger urban settings are. I mean, we've got men doing great work there, but yeah, we could just go around the state and I could name names of pastors who are doing a great job in their context. Some of our most evangelical pastors are out in our rural context. And we look at that. We did some study about where baptisms per capita, and a lot of our churches are doing very well in their baptisms per capita, and some of the most proficient at that. So that's a great question, a good medal, and I'm glad I don't have too much faith in can say, but you're exactly right. We need to champion the validity of that ministry. You don't have to be in a church of 1,000 or more people. Actually, we only have about 15 churches in Oklahoma that run more than 1,000 worship service.
Well, listen, this has been a great conversation, and I've learned a lot. And I'm grateful to be here in Oklahoma that does put a high value on the rural context for ministry, and looking forward to seeing more in the future of how we continue to encourage pastors. Thank you, gentlemen, for sharing. Jeff Clark from the Rural Matters Institute and James Swain here from Oklahoma Baptist. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Let me know if there's any way I can help.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate your work. And thanks, Chris, for the opportunity to share.
And thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed what you heard, you can find more conversations like this on our website at baptistmessenger.com. Or by looking for our podcast, wherever you download podcasts, just search for Messenger Insight Podcast.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.